I hope there's no fire marshals in here. I don't know that we meet code up here. Well, we are continuing our series looking at the key ministries of Jesus and how we can pattern our church and our lives on those key ministries. Last week, we heard that Jesus had a habit of inviting people to relationships, and we were reminded that Jesus invited them to those relationships, and then lives were transformed. People didn't have to fix everything in their life before having a relationship with Jesus. Praise God, because otherwise none of us would have a relationship with Jesus. This week, we're looking at creative communication. And, you know, when I first decided to become a pastor, I offered God a bargain of sorts, a deal, if you will. And it's a good thing I have power to make deals with God, right? I prayed, God, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will say whatever you tell me. Just don't make it boring. Now, I imagine that there's like a switchboard in heaven somewhere, like and there's lights that just start flashing anytime someone prays something like that, and there's an angel that turns around and says, "Hey, Jesus, we got a live one here." Or maybe it's more like, you know, Jabba the Hutt's laugh in Star Wars. But either way, however it plays out in heaven, I can assure you, God has definitely lived up to his end of that bargain. I have never been bored as a pastor, because God really doesn't do boring. You know, that's not his thing. I mean, for evidence, he invented the duck-billed platypus. Have you seen how much intestine God squeezed inside of us? I bet that was like a bet with an angel or something like that. God is creator, and that means God is creative. And Jesus exemplified that in his time on earth. People marveled at how he taught. He wasn't like the scribes or the other rabbis. He was shocking. He was riveting. He was memorable. He was creative. Jesus was anything but boring. Okay, you know, every once in a while I like to ask a little poll question, have people raise their hands, so get your arm ready here. Raise your hand, no judgment here, raise your hand if you've ever been bored in a church at any time in your life. Okay, that's okay. Notice I said at any time in your life, so I can pretend none of those apply to my time here. I'm smart. But shouldn't that tell us that we can do better? We gather on Sunday to remind ourselves of the greatest story in the universe. We gather on Sunday to worship the creator of the universe, and we gather on Sunday to get instructions from that creator on how to live our very personal lives. How could that be boring? You know, I watched the Lego Batman movie earlier this year, High Culture, and it was surprisingly entertaining. But guess how much it affects my life? Nada. Church should be, theoretically, far more engaging than the Lego Batman movie. Although, as a side note, if I had an $80 million budget like the Lego Batman movie, we could be very creative, I assure you. Now, we already heard in our first text today that David was creative in his worship. He brought in all of the instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. He played all the best songs. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. Now, don't worry, I know my limits. I'm not going to attempt that. I don't want to pull a hammy, you know, today. But on our music dedication Sunday, this is a good time to remember that music and song, and yes, even dance, are different ways to communicate. Music is one of the most effective ways to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, my son Charlie couldn't tell me a single word of any sermon I have ever said and probably ever will say, but he knows dozens of songs on Christian radio. And whenever my two-year-old Caleb asks me to sing that favorite song I mentioned, he says, "Daddy, sing Thank You, Jesus." I can't say no to that, can I? He doesn't read, but he knows all of these songs. Such is the power of music in our lives, and such is the power of creative, not boring, communication. Let's see how creative Jesus was in his communication. If you are able, please stand for the reading from the gospel. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and all of the people came to him and sat down, and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say? They said this to test him so that they might have some charge to bring against him. As a side note, the Romans, he would have gotten in trouble with the Romans for having capital punishment without checking with them first. That's what they were trying to capture him with. But Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. Now they kept questioning him. He straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard this, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, but from now on, do not sin again." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. You may be seated. This passage has what I believe to be the second greatest mystery in our faith, at least in my estimation. The greatest mystery is why God designed us to have teething outside the womb where you can hear the screaming children. But the second greatest mystery is here in this text. What did Jesus write on the ground? I mean, to put this into context, imagine that you're in between two groups of people. You've got protesters on one side, counter-protesters on the other. They are fuming mad at each other. Insults are flying. A riot may form. What could you say to disperse the crowd? What could you do to get through to them? Jesus said one sentence and wrote something in the ground that made every single person drop their weapon and go home. Wow, that's creative communication. You know, we're watching these videos every month for the next 2 years called 24 to Double. Yes, it's a stupid name, but we're going with it. And we're actually going to watch one today at 11:45 in Ficklin Hall if you want to come. And the pastor who teaches these is Jerry Lawson. And he took his best guess as to what Jesus wrote on the ground. He said, you know, if Jesus is asking you a question, it's not because he wants to know the answer. He already knows the answer. So when he said, "Let anyone who's without sin be the first to throw the stone at her," he knew all of the sins of those in the crowd. And so maybe, you know, Jesus looked out and he saw Brother John over there. And Brother John had been maybe a little too friendly with Mary lately. So Jesus writes Mary in the dust and looks over at Brother John. Brother John drops his stone and heads home. Now, maybe then Jesus looked over on the other side and he saw Jim. And Jim had his own secret little affair going on with Rachel. So Jesus writes Rachel in the dust and looks over at Jim. Jim's out. One by one, Jesus names their sins, and they go home. Now, we don't know if that's what really happened. That's one potential. But whatever Jesus wrote, it was powerful enough to stop an angry mob in their tracks and make them go home. Now, I've said before, I'm happy. If you can remember something I said 2 days later, I'm happy. Jesus apparently had a little higher ceiling for his communication than I do. But then notice what doesn't happen. Jesus doesn't pretend that adultery is okay. He didn't just shock his audience for the sake of shocking them. He communicated a long-standing truth in a very different way. The long-standing truth is that God isn't a fan of adultery. That's not really in debate. There's no alternative narrative on that one. Jesus doesn't change it. He says, "Neither do I condemn you, but go your way, and from now on do not sin again." In other words, he didn't change whether adultery was a sin or not. It's still a sin. God still cares. Jesus just chooses not to condemn her because of it. He wants to see life change. He wants her to be different. He's not out for retribution. He's out for transformation. So whenever we talk about creative communication as a key ministry of Jesus, we also have to remember that Jesus himself said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Jesus didn't throw out God's truth so that he could make a memorable point. He wasn't an entertainer. He was entertaining, but his job wasn't to be an entertainer. He communicated God's unchanging truth in a very memorable way. And that means that whenever we come to this never boring church, we are supposed to communicate that same message in a creative way. It's kind of like a TV show. You basically know the plot of every TV show. You know, the good guys or the heroes, you know, they get in trouble and then somehow they work it out. That's like every TV show ever invented, every episode. Yet how many seasons did MASH get out of that formula, right? So why do we keep watching it? Well, it's interesting to see how the main characters come out on the other side. How do they get from trouble to resolution? We tune in every week just to see the answer to that question. In the same way, we have the same basic message of Jesus Christ to communicate every single week. But it should be engaging enough every week to be worth experiencing again and again. That was actually one of the clear takeaways when we had our worship survey earlier this year. People across every age range, we saw comments saying it's okay to vary the worship service a little bit. In fact, that would be good to have a little creativity each week. There's comfort in knowing what's coming, but there's also opportunity to grow whenever there's something new. My former pastor used to say, you have to give people the nod of recognition before the aha of revelation. In other words, you have to make sure that people feel acknowledged and respected before asking them to do something new. So it's a bit of threading the needle to figure out how much familiar and how much creative we should have each week. Now, I have to admit, I have some strengths. This is not one of them. I am a systematic person. So I can come up with a process, but then I will stick to it unless I have to change it. But that can make me kind of have blinders on because I'm just following my process every time. It's like I need a be creative checkbox on my plan each week, because otherwise I'll just keep going down the same road each week. So one thing we're talking about is getting a group of people together who are good at this. You know who you are. I probably know who you are too. I don't have all this figured out yet, but it might look like a creative team that meets once a month to come up with creative ideas. How can we communicate the sermon series that's coming up? So, for example, do you remember how amazing the church looked like for Vacation Bible School? How amazing the whole church was? Well, maybe there's a way to temporarily decorate the church for a sermon series to communicate God's timeless truth in a creative way. Or maybe we have a group that, instead of just reading the scripture, enacts it on occasion. We're actually talking about something like that for Maundy Thursday this year. Or a couple of weeks ago, or even you know this morning, I had you talk to each other, share your favorite hymn. Or during the prayer of confession a couple of weeks ago, we had you pray forgiveness on someone instead of asking God for forgiveness while Susan played a great arrangement in the background. You know, maybe there are ways to be creative about the various things we do. Or if you remember Youth Sunday, where I led a couple of hymns on a guitar, Kenneth and Kate led some hymns later in the service, and I said we were singing them. Do you remember Coke with a Twist of Lime were those hymns? They were the same hymns you knew, but just a little bit different. We've talked about maybe do we try something like that for the last hymn on some Sundays. I can't tell you what we will come up with because I'm the person who can organize the team, not come up with all of the ideas. So there are three ways, though, that you can help this church be a little more like Jesus in creative communication. If you have that gift, maybe it's music, maybe it's visuals, maybe it's drama, maybe it's something else. If you could contribute to a team like that, then let me know. I have some names in mind, but I probably don't know everyone who could help with that. A second way you can help is maybe you don't want to be on a team, but you've always had, I wish we would do. If you've got an answer to that, make sure you let me know. For instance, a few congregants have talked about wanting to do like a hymn sing and having requests. So we're actually talking about that as a worship committee of having a few Sundays where we don't plan which hymns we're going to sing. We open it up and you can request from the hymnal and Susan can play that. It's a good thing we have good musicians who can pull off something like that. That's an idea that came from a congregant. So if you've got ideas, let me know. And the third way you can help this church be a little more creative in its communication is to be open. Let us suppose, this being music dedication Sunday and all, that the music is your thing, and so you are very happy today. But then a couple months from now, we do a live enactment of Scripture, and that is not your thing. What I will ask is, remember that there are other people who are starving for something like that. Be happy for them, even if it didn't work for you that particular Sunday. Giving us space to be creative, knowing that sometimes it's going to fall flat, is something that everyone can do to help this church be a little more like Jesus in creative communication. Sisters and brothers, church should be the most engaging thing you do every week. It's the greatest story with the greatest personal impact, way better than the Lego Batman movie. But to stay engaging, we have to be creative in our communication. Jesus could never have dispelled that crowd by saying the same thing in the same old way. Instead, he said that same old thing in a dramatically new way, and it saved a woman's life. May we be a church like Jesus that is creative in our communication. Amen.